production of the Hollywood Theater of the Year, 2000X. A radio series devoted to stories of the next millennia. Now, here is your host, the award-winning writer and critic, Harlan Ellison.
Catherine Moore wrote Chamblot for Weird Tales, and it was the first of a series of stories introducing the character Northwest Smith. They were stories in the high romantic tradition of the 1940s. The terrible thing about it was that Catherine Moore had to write under the name C.L. Moore because it was such a sexist medium that no one would have credited the brilliance of her writing if they'd known she was a woman. And now, one of her greatest stories, Chamblot.
Strange sounds were common enough in the streets of Lac-Darol, Earth's latest colony on Mars. A new, red little town where anything might happen, and very often did.
You looking for something?
Chamblot, come on!
You crossing that line?
We want that girl.
Come and get her. Bunch of drunken planet scavengers against a little slip of a girl? Not fair odds, is it? What do you want with her anyway?
She's Chamblot! Chamblot, you fool!
Yeah, well, I'm part Apache. What of it?
Give her to us. We'll take care of her.
I'm taking care of her.
She's Chamblot, I tell you. Damn your hide, man. We never let those things live. Keep back!
She's mine.
Keep back. Yours. She's yours?
Yeah. And I'm keeping her. Now you stand back there.
Keep her there. But don't let her out again in this town.
Come on.
They're gone now.
Here we are. You all right?
Not afraid now.
Ah, good. Well, let me look at you. Not human, are you? Even Plutonians don't have eyes that green. Not that I care.
I am Chamblot.
Yeah, I got that. Now, is that your name? I mean, what they want you for? What'd you do?
I not talk your speech.
Well, now, well, what's yours? I might know it. Try me.
Someday I speak to you in my own language.
Well, come on. Mob's after you. We better get you indoors. Where should I take you?
With you.
All right. Come on, then. Well, this is it, kitten. Choice is Diggs and Camptown, which isn't saying much. But I slept in worse. Imagine you have too.
It is not important.
Not much here, but the bed, the cabinet, big mirror. There's no electricity, no cooling, no heat.
I make my own cold and hot.
Yeah. Come on over here. Let me get a good look at you. Well, your wounds don't look serious. I got disinfectant in the first aid kit on the counter there. You know how to use it.
Yes.
Do you always wear that turban?
Turban?
That thing on your head? Do you always wear it?
Not always. You call it
turban.
Turban.
Uh-huh. Now, is this tunic the only outfit you have?
Outfit.
garment? Clothes? Clothes? Are these your only clothes?
Yes.
Oh. A little the worse for wear, isn't it?
It is old.
You look human. Almost. Like a cross between a woman and a cat.
I am Shamblo.
Is that your name? The name of your people? Sounds French. Is it a French word?
What means French?
Never mind. Now, you check yourself out in the mirror, a little cleaning up, and some might even call you pretty. In a weird sort of way. So, look, kitten, you can stay here until I leave town. I got business here for a few more days. After that, I'm afraid you're on your own, you understand?
On my own.
Yeah. Have you eaten?
Yes. I shall need no food for now.
All right. Well, I'll be back sometime tonight. You can go or stay, just as you please.
Yes, I please.
Better lock the door behind
me. Oh, yes, my dear Smitty. The more I roam through the vast abysms of the universe, the more I become convinced that the human race hath conquered space. Somehow, either that or our little blue world was oft visited in antiquity.
No one's been ever able to prove such a thing.
Ah, believe it, my boy. Before the Egyptians, yea, before civilization as we know it emerged on the banks of the Tigris and Euphrates, man, or a progenitor, encountered pilgrims from the stars, and some of our remote ancestors even went away with their guests.
Well, now, if that's true, Yarrow, why hasn't any fossil or archaeological record been found?
Look about you, man. Look around. Come on. Look around this room. Who are these hominid aliens from adjacent worlds? None other than the descendants of our own ancestors, whose seed you behold before you.
You do bump into a lot of man-like things in outer space. I found a curious one today that I've never seen before. You ever heard of Shamblo?
Not so I recall. What is it?
What? I don't know. But I left a specimen back at my digs.
Oh, did you now?
Yeah. I got her away from a mob.
Her?
Yeah. Little brown thing, maybe 5 foot tall, part human, but mostly animal. Weird flat green eyes. Claws on her hands and feet. Looks young, maybe 18, 19. Could be 1,000 years old, though, you know, for all I know.
Attractive, is she?
Well, sort of. Really sweet little body. Feline. At the same time, there's something... I don't know, almost repulsive about her. Something that makes you cringe the same time you're... You know...
Turned off.
Something like that, yeah.
We're not letting our gonads get in the way of our commercial interests, are we, Smith?
You know me better than that.
The weakness of the flesh counteth not among thy failings, usually. But whatever possessed you to take in such a waif?
Oh, I don't know. An impulse. She looks so helpless, bruised, dirty, frightened.
And who says chivalry is dead?
She wears a turban. And this old ragged, bright red sheath made of some kind of hide. I think they were only possessions. The mob wanted to kill her. One of them even said, "We never let those things live."
It reminds me of one of the old religious injunctions. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Perhaps Shamblo means witch.
Yeah, it could be. Myers in this town are pretty superstitious.
But remember what I just said about the origin of superstition and myth, Smitty. Remember also, pride goeth before a fall. You think you're tough, huh? But no male of any species is deaf to the siren song. Your knight errantry may backfire on you, son. Oh, caution. At least until we have concluded our sojourn here.
Yeah, speaking of which, just what the hell are we doing here? I mean, why pick the most godforsaken slag heap on Mars?
It's convenience, my dear Smith. And you'll find that some of the residents can be useful to it.
It's out in the middle of nowhere.
For this type of transaction, that is most convenient. My friend, 3 days from now, we'll laugh over this as we tally our profits. But for now...
Waiter! A bottle of Seguin!
Open up! My arm's full.
Ooh, it's dark in here. Let's turn on the light.
Light and dark. They are alike to me.
Oh, cat eyes, eh? Well, you look the part. Here, I brought you some dinner. Take your choice. There's New York roast beef, Venusian frog broth, fresh canal apples, and lettuce. Must be something to your liking.
No, I cannot eat your food.
Didn't you take any of the food, the concentrate tablets I left you?
No.
Then you haven't had anything for... Geez, for more than 24 hours. You must be starved.
Not hungry.
Ah, oh, what can I find for you to eat, then? There's time yet if I hurry. You gotta eat, kitten.
I shall eat before long. I shall feed. Have no worry.
Well, if you won't eat, you won't. But I'm going to. Why don't you try one of these canal apples? They're good.
The food I eat is better.
Look at me. What food do you eat? Blood?
You think me vampire, huh? No. I am Shamblo.
Oh, I am Shamblo, I am Shamblo. What the hell does that mean?
I am Shamblo. I cannot say it otherwise in your tongue.
Then say it in yours.
No, not yet.
Why not?
It is not time.
When the hell is the time?
Soon.
When, for Christ's sake?
When all is in darkness. And the moons of Mars make the shadows squirm.
Okay. We can do that. There! It's dark! Presto! Moonshine! Now, talk to me. Who are you? What are you?
Can you see me?
Cut the nonsense.
Night and day. They are the same to me, but you...
I see you all right. Your shadow, at any rate. Your silhouette in front of the mirror.
Do you see what I am doing?
I have a good idea.
This is how I talk in my own speech.
Just do your talking on that side of the room.
I will show you my hair. My flaming red hair.
That's enough!
I am only unwrapping my turban.
I've had enough of this!
It winds around and around. And my beautiful hair winds also.
What are you doing to me?
Around and around. Around and around. Oh, no, it is free.
Good God!
I shall speak to you now in my own tongue.
Stay away from me!
My beloved.
Well, 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 bless my soul. If it isn't my old friend, Jarl.
Ah, you must have me confused with another personage, officer. My name is Jones.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I could have sworn that you were an acquaintance of mine in a very bad disguise. Kind of pleasant, although not entirely up-and-up fellow named Jarl, who it has been my pleasure to run out of town from time to time.
I see I can't put anything over on you, officer. Yes, indeed.
It is I.
Still at large, I see. Amazing. What brings you back to Lactarol? Nothing illegal, I hope?
Ah, perish the thought. Merely a brief reunion with an old school chum, and I'm on my way. Alas, were he not many hours tardy, I would have been gone already.
And who might this school chum be? Perhaps I know him.
An Earthman named Smith.
You wouldn't be referring to the adventurer they call Northwest Smith, would you?
The very man.
Must have been some school.
Had you seen him?
Oh, not for days. No one has. He's shacked up with a Chamblot.
I've heard some such rumor. What, pray, is a Chamblot?
Well, you don't see many of them where you come from, but they've been around here and there practically forever. They're metamorphous. In their true form, they look like a nest of giant red snakes. But the snakes retract into the Chamblot's head, and they hide them under a wraparound. Then, they are seductive little things that get their mitts into a man and suck the life out of him.
Indeed. Are they lethal?
Well, virtually. They don't actually kill you. They just drain you of vitality. It's how they feed. Also, how they procreate. They're all female, you see, and mate only with other hominid species.
My pharaoh's beard.
When we find one around here, we hunt her down before she can do any damage. We would have taken this one out, too, except your friend decided to make a pen
out of her. Excuse me, I must go.
Hey!
But he has to be on the top floor. Oh, God. Chili! Chili, Yarrow! Come with glad tidings, son! All right. Be prepared. That's the Boy Scouts marching song. Yarrow, old man. Something's very wrong here. I can feel it. Smith! Smithy! Oh, God. Where's the light? Smitty, is that you?
Go away.
Smith?
Go away. Leave me alone.
Oh, by Pharaoh's throat. Smith. Oh, Smith, come here. Come on, get up.
Go away.
Smitty, get
go
up.
Away.
Oh, God, come on.
Go
man.
Away, please.
Oh, God.
Go, please. Go.
Look.
Oh. Eyes. Green cat's eyes. I won't look. I won't look. I can't look. Smitty. Smitty. I can't get free. Worms everywhere. God, what are you?
Chamblot.
Yeah. And then I recall the legend of Medusa, the Gorgon who had snakes instead of hair. Her eyes turned into stone. According to the myth, the hero Perseus managed to slay Medusa by avoiding her gaze and viewing only her reflection in a polished shield. Here. Well, see, this is what flashed through my mind while I was entwined in the Chamblot's scarlet tendrils. I mean, the bloody minx, the bloody poisonous minx was trying to force me to look directly in her face. It was then that this big cracked mirror caught my eye. Without pausing for a breath, I swung my weapon over my shoulder, the reflected barrel in line with the reflected horror in the mirror, and flicked the catch. I saw its blue flame leap in a dazzling spate across the dimness, full into the midst of that squirming, reaching mass. And that, my friend... Oh, that is how your loyal colleague Geralt, at the risk of life and limb, managed in one stroke both to rescue a worthless hide and prove his theory about the origin of myth here.
I need a drink.
I have just to say. Take this. Take it. Seeger. It's kind of whiskey imported.
Smuggled.
From Venus. There's a singularly foul taste, but I find it efficacious in the clearing of the mind.
God!
By feral. I shall never let you forget this, Smitty. If ere you must needs ride to my rescue, I shall say...
Let it go.
Not a chance, my boy. It's too delicious.
Yeah, so let me get this straight. The girl was a Medusa.
Ah, Shamblo must be a vampiric or gorgoness species from feral knows where. Apparently very ancient. Very ancient, if it figures in Greek myth.
Good God, there's more than one.
Obviously. The miners of Lactarol, who came from far-flung climes, recognized her at once, didn't they? I mean, they knew of her venomous love-making and tried to exterminate the peril they feared from her. Only your hapless intervention prevented them from doing so.
What was she doing to me?
Feeding on your life force.
Feeding on my soul. I could feel her caressing my soul. Funny, I never thought about having one until I almost lost it.
I consulted an acquaintance of mine, a member of the local constabulary, in fact. He informed me of the Shamblo modus operandi.
And?
They take some form, usually a woman, and excite you to the highest pitch of emotion before they begin.
Oh, God, yes.
And they give always that horrible, foul pleasure as they feed. There are some men who, if they survive the first experience, take to it like a drug. They can't give it up. They keep the thing with them all their lives, which aren't long. I'm talking about things I can't define. I only know that when I felt those tentacles close around my legs, oh, God, I didn't want to pull loose. And yet...
I know. I know it much better than you do. And I'll remember it in my nightmares until I die. I think there must be some core of pure evil in me. In everyone. That needs only the proper stimulus to get complete control. Because even while I was sick all through from the touch of those things, there was something in me that was simply gibbering with
delight.
Yes. Because of that, I saw things and knew things. Horrible, wild things. I can't quite remember. Visited unbelievable places. Looked backward through the memory of that creature I was one with. And I saw... God, I wish I could remember.
You ought to thank your God you can't.
I suppose they're kind of rare.
Shamblo? I expect so. Why?
I don't suppose there's any way of finding another.
Smitty, look at me. Look at me. I've never asked your word on anything before, but I've earned the right to do it now. And I'm asking you to promise me one thing.
Oh, go ahead, I promise.
That if you should ever meet a Shamblo again, ever... anywhere, you will draw your gun and burn it to hell the instant you realize what it is. Now, will you promise me that? Please.
I'll try.
You have been listening to Shamblo by C.L. Moore, dramatized for radio by Sarah Montague and Bert Ross. In the cast, you heard Christopher Tabori as Northwest Smith, Anne-Marie Lee as the Chamblot, and George Murdoch as Yarol. The play was produced and directed by Yuri Rusovsky. Octavia Estelle Butler, whom I call Estelle, because I've known her for about half my life, came to me as a gangly, very, very shy woman in a writer's workshop that I was working with, and she wanted to write films, and she did some scripts, and I looked them over, and we sat down, and I said to her, Estelle, you know, these scripts are just awful, but the writing is sensational. You don't want to be writing scripts for television. You want to be writing stories. You want to be writing novels. A few years ago, Estelle won the MacArthur Grant, what they call the Genius Award. And now, here is her Hugo and Nebula Award-winning novelette, Bloodchild.
Hello?
God?
My last night of childhood began with a visit home.
How is everything, Mom?
Oh, well, you know, the farm's a little rocky.
My mother looked older than she should have.
We may have to sell off a third.
But I didn't say anything.
Just to get by.
What about you? How are you doing?
I hear your brother and sister coming in from Japan. Rocky!
Hi, strangers!
Alone, I hope, and still in one piece.
My older brother, Key. We'd been close when we were kids, but something had happened to him when he reached adolescence. And now he looked at me in a way that made me all but hate him. A way that clearly said, as long as I was all right, he was safe.
Well, Mr. Gon, the outside has done you good.
My sister, Xuan Hua.
Yeah, but you're still too thin.
That's what Tagatoy says.
Is Tagatoy with you?
She'll be in directly. She had to stop by to see one of her constituents.
Why did you have to bring her here?
Key, honestly.
She brought me, actually.
Key, I will not have Tagatoy disparaged in this house.
She's just a big, ugly worm.
She's a big, important worm. She protects us.
She uses us.
She's our friend. Family.
That's right. It's an honor that such a person has chosen to come into this family.
She had her pick of everyone in the preserve, and she chose Gon.
She didn't choose anybody. Mom gave him to her.
Key!
Gave the little baby boy to the big ugly worm.
I think she's beautiful.
So do I. I wish she had chosen me.
She chose this family. Created this family. Introduced me to your father.
Her father, too. Or should I say mother?
That's enough. And you, Gon, I told you to take care of her. Have you been taking care of her?
I try.
Fair enough. Oh, now you treat her with respect. You hear me, Keith?
If she brings egg, I'll kiss all 12 of her feet.
I bet you will.
Gatoy!
Greetings, everyone.
Oh, welcome.
Gatoy is Tlik. In fact, the Tlik government official in charge of the preserve. Thus, she is the most important of her kind to deal directly with Terrans, those two-legged descendants of refugees from the planet Earth. Humans, as they call themselves. Or rather, as we call ourselves.
You got any of those eggs with you?
Shh! What did I tell you, Key?
As a matter of fact, I happen to have brought two fresh sterile eggs. One for my protege, Gon. Take it, young man.
Thank you.
And one for the rest of you to share.
Just one for the three of us?
I'd be happy to share mine.
No. I want you to have all of it.
Here, Key, you and Hua take this. I don't want any.
Trophic eggs. Unfertilized eggs of the Tlik. Have strange effects on human physiology. For one thing, they're a strong intoxicant. For another, they prolong life. My mother rarely indulged. I often wonder why.
Plenty for the two of us, Key. Shut up and pinch it open.
As was her habit when she came to visit, Tagatoy climbed onto one of her special couches and curled up there.
Gon, come over here and keep me warm.
Gatoy liked our body heat and took advantage of it whenever she could. So I lay against her long velvet underside and sipped from my egg.
Gon's gonna get it tonight, I bet. Better him than me. Better anybody than me.
Key!
Let him talk, Nian. The egg has gone right to his head.
They say that the Tlik used to pick out the boys and the girls and pen them up in pairs and feed them nothing but eggs, so they couldn't help breeding. Is that true?
I have heard the same story.
Boy, what a life. That's what I want to do. Just sip eggs and breed all day.
My mother sat watching everyone drifting and dreaming without her. Most of the time, she watched me.
You're finally gaining weight. Mm-hmm. Thinness is dangerous.
He's still too thin.
But better, don't you think? You could use a little more heft yourself, Leanne.
My childbearing days have been over for a long time.
It has nothing to do with childbearing. It's a matter of health and well-being. Here, Leanne. Would you like to have what's left of Gan's
egg? No. The eggs are for the children.
They are for the family. Please, take it.
Very well.
Unwillingly obedient, my mother took it from me and put it to her mouth. There were only a few drops left in the now shrunken elastic shell, but she squeezed them out, swallowed them, and after a few moments, some of the lines of tension began to smooth from her face.
It's good. Sometimes I forget how good it is.
You should take more. Your late husband never refused one, and look how long he lived. And at a stage of life when most Terran men begin to shrivel up and die, he married you and fathered these children. Why are you in such a hurry to be old?
We don't want you to grow old, Mom.
I like being able to come here. This place is a refuge because of you. Yet you won't take care of yourself.
Tgatoi was hounded on the outside. Her people wanted more of us Terrans made available. They didn't understand why there was a preserve, why they couldn't just have any Terran they wanted. It was a little frightening to know that only she stood between us and that desperation that could so easily swallow us. For I had lived with her on the outside. I had seen.
Go on, Gan. Sit down there with Ki and Hua and enjoy not being sober. You had most of the egg. Lien, come warm me.
My mother hesitated. Then she lay down against the Gatoi, and the whole left row of Degatoy's limbs closed around her, holding her loosely but securely. I have always found it comfortable to lie that way, but except for Hua, no one else in the family like it. They said it made them feel caged.
Not enough egg, Lien. You should have taken it when it was passed to you. You need it badly now.
Ow! You stung me!
Yes. Yes, I did.
Why did you do that?
I could not watch you sitting and suffering any longer.
Tomorrow.
Yes. Tomorrow you will resume your suffering, if you must. But just now, just for now, lie here and warm me, and let me ease your way a little.
He's still mine, you know.
I know.
Nothing can buy him from me.
Nothing.
Did you think I would sell him for eggs? For long life? My son?
Not for anything.
I would like to have touched my mother. To have shared that moment with her. She would take my hand if I touched her now. Freed by the egg and the sting, she would smile and perhaps say things long held in. But tomorrow, she would remember all this as a humiliation. I did not want to be part of a remembered humiliation. Best just to be still. And know she loved me under all the duty and pride and pain.
Xuan Hua?
Mm-hmm.
Hua, take off your mother's shoes. In a little while I'll sting her again and she can sleep.
All right.
You're going to sting me again?
Yes, Lien.
I'll sleep until tomorrow noon.
Good. You need it. When did you last sleep?
I should have stepped on you when you were small enough.
That was an old joke between them. They had grown up together, sort of, though Tgatoi had never, in my mother's lifetime, been small enough to step on. She was nearly three times my mother's age, yet would still be young when my mother died of age. But Tgatoi and my mother had met when Tgatoi was coming into a period of rapid development, a kind of Tlik adolescence. For a while, they developed at the same rate and had no better friends than each other.
Lien? Can you stand up?
Stand? I thought I was going to sleep.
Later. Something sounds wrong outside.
What?
Up, Lien! I hear something out there.
Wait. I'll go. Whoops!
With
you.
She heard something or saw something.
She's coming back. carrying something.
Hold the door open, Gan, and tell the family to stand back.
What is it?
Intlik.
Intlik? Here? Alone?
She brushed past me carrying a man, unconscious, folded like a coat over some of her limbs.
He was trying to reach a call box, I suppose.
What the?
My God!
She put him on the floor and began stripping off his clothes.
Dan, go to the call box. Dan!
Senki, I'll stay here. Maybe I can help.
You don't want to see this. It will be hard. I can't help this man the way his clique can.
I know, but Senki, he won't want to help. I'm at least willing to try.
All right. Key. Go.
Key, staring at the man on the floor with undisguised fear and revulsion, didn't argue. He stood up, swayed briefly, then steadied, frightened sober.
Gone.
Yeah.
Give me the man's ID armband there on the floor next to your foot.
Okay. Here.
Listen, Key. This man's name is Bram Lomas. He needs Tikotgipte. Do you hear?
Yeah. Bram Lomas Tikotgipte. I'm going.
We should go too far.
I...
Anyway, here.
I want no argument from you this time, Gan.
What shall I do?
Go out and slaughter an animal that's at least half your size.
Slaughter? But I've never even...
Don't argue. Just do.
I got up, feeling stupid for having ignored her warning, and went into the kitchen. I thought maybe I could kill one of the Acti out back with a knife or an axe. I had never slaughtered an animal, had never killed anything. I'd spent most of my time with Tagatoi instead of learning the family business. She was right. I should have gone to the call box. At least I could do that. I opened a cabinet and from its hiding place pulled out the rifle my father had concealed there. Firearms were illegal in the preserve. I went out to the cages and picked out the biggest Acti I could find. I put the Acti's long, warm body over my shoulder, glad that some of the weight I'd gained was muscle, and took it into the kitchen. There I put the gun back in its hiding place. If Tagatoi noticed the Acti's wounds and demanded the gun, I'd give it to her. Otherwise, let it stay where my father wanted it.
Gan, what's keeping you?
For several seconds, I stood in front of the closed door, wondering why I was suddenly afraid. I knew what was going to happen. I hadn't seen it before, but Tagatoi had shown me diagrams and drawings. She had made sure I knew the truth as soon as I was old enough to understand it. Yet, I did not want to go into that room. I swallowed. I had not imagined a single moving of the feet could be so difficult. I realized I was trembling, and that shamed me. Shame impelled me through the door.
It's about time. What did you bring me?
An Acti.
So I see. And a big one, too. Good.
Tagatoi extended claws from several of her limbs and slit the Acti from throat to anus.
What's happening here?
Hold the man's shoulders, Gan. Quickly. If he comes to...
Gan, you hold his right side. I'll hold his left.
Mom, never mind. I'll do it. Don't worry. I won't shame you. You don't have to stay and watch.
I love you, Gan. You know that. I'm going up to my room.
Thank you, Gan. That one, she is always finding new ways for me to make her suffer.
He's waking up.
Bram, listen to me. I've stung you as much as I dare for now. When this is over, I'll sting you to sleep, and you won't hurt anymore.
No, please wait.
There's no more time, Bram. I'll sting you as soon as it's over.
No.
When Tikotgit arrives, she'll give you eggs to help you heal. It will be over soon.
Tikotgit?
Soon, Bram. Gan, hold him down firmly.
I have him.
She placed a claw against his abdomen, slightly to the right of the middle, just below his ribs. There was movement on the man's right side. Tiny, seemingly random pulsations moving his brown flesh, creating a concavity here, a convexity there, over and over, until I could see the rhythm of it and knew where the next pulse would be. Gatoy wound the rear section of her body around his legs. He might break my grip, but he would not break hers. He wept helplessly as she used his pants to tie his hands, then pushed his hands above his head.
Now, Gan, kneel here on the cloth between his hands. That should pin them down sufficiently.
Like this?
That's it.
Why are you rolling up his shirt?
Bram, here. Open your mouth. Bite down on this.
Then she opened him up. I felt as though I were helping her torture him, helping her consume him. I knew I would vomit soon, didn't know why I hadn't already. I couldn't possibly last until she was finished.
There's the first grub.
The grub was fat and deep red with Bram's blood, both inside and outside.
It looks like we're just in time. It hasn't started eating its host yet.
Tagatoy picked up the writhing grub carefully and looked at it. It was limbless and boneless at this stage, perhaps 15 centimeters long and too thick, blind and slimy with blood.
A fine, healthy male. Let's just put it in the belly of the Acti, so it'll stay there and eat as long as there's anything to eat.
Tagatoy, Lomas has gone limp. Is he dead?
No, he only passed out. Good. I wish you Terrans could do that at will. Now, let's find the others.
Paler worms oozed to visibility in Lomas' flesh. I closed my eyes. It was worse than finding something dead, rotting, and filled with tiny animal grubs. And it was far worse than any drawing or diagram.
Oh, there are more. You may have to kill another animal, Gan. Everything lives inside you, Terrans.
I had been told all my life that this was a good and necessary thing Flick and Terran did together. A kind of birth. I had believed it until now. I knew birth was painful and bloody no matter what. But this was something else, something worse. And I wasn't ready to see it. Maybe I never would be.
This one's still eating its egg case.
Oh.
Still attached to the blood vessel. Extricating it is going to be tricky.
That is the way the grubs are anchored and the way they feed. They take only blood until they are ready to emerge. Then they eat their stretched elastic egg cases. Then they eat their hosts.
One more, I think. Perhaps two.
The whole procedure was wrong. Alien.
A good family. And one of our native host animals, we would be happy to find one or two alive.
I wouldn't have thought anything about Tagatoy could seem alien to me. Before this, I mean.
Go outside, Gan. And empty your stomach. Go now, while the man is still unconscious. I don't need you to help me put him back together.
Thank you.
Gone! What happened? Is this the Godgifte?
Yes.
And the Terran?
A doctor.
Six young, maybe seven, all alive. At least one male.
Lomas. How is Lomas?
He's alive.
Oh. The Godgifte has been sick. When I called, I could hear her people telling her she wasn't well enough to go out, even for this. Finally found out more than you wanted to know, haven't you? Don't give me one of her looks. You're not her. You're just her property. Something smells. What did you do, puke?
Yes.
So now you know what you're in for.
Leave me alone.
How was it, really?
I killed an Acti. The young ate it.
You didn't run out of the house and puke because they ate an Acti.
I've never seen a person cut open before.
Oh. Did he say anything? Lomas, I mean.
He said to Gutgif.
If she'd done that to me, she'd be the last person I'd call for.
Yes, you would. Her sting would ease your pain without killing the grubs in you.
You think I'd care if they died? Shit! I've seen what they do. You think this thing with Lomas was bad. It was nothing. I saw them eat a man.
You're lying.
I saw them eat a man. It was when I was little.
That's when you started running away, isn't it?
Yeah. Stupid. Running inside the preserve. Running in a cage.
She wouldn't take you, Key. You don't have to worry.
She would, if anything happened to you.
No, she'd take Xuanhua. Hua wants it.
They don't take women.
They do sometimes. Actually, they prefer women. You should be around them when they talk among themselves. They say women have more body fat to protect the grubs. But they usually take men to leave the women free to bear their own young.
To provide for the next generation of host animals.
It's more than that.
If it were going to happen to me, I'd want to believe it was more, too.
It is more!
Did you think so while Tagatoi was picking worms out of Bram Lomas's guts?
It's not supposed to happen that way.
Sure it is. You weren't supposed to see it, that's all. And his Tlik was supposed to do it. She could sting him unconscious, and the operation wouldn't have been as painful. But she'd still open him up, pick out the grubs, and if she missed even one, it would poison him and eat him from the inside out. I'm sorry. Look, it probably won't be that bad with you. Tagatoi likes you. She'll be careful. Has she done it to you yet? I mean, you're about the right age for implantation. Has she...
I think I meant to kill him. If he hadn't been bigger and stronger, I think I would have.
You shouldn't have made me do that.
I got up and walked slowly toward the house. The back was dark. No one was in the kitchen. My mother and sister were sleeping in their bedrooms, or pretending to. Once I was in the kitchen, I could hear voices. Tlik and Taren, from the next room. I couldn't make out what they were saying. Didn't want to make it out. I sat down at my mother's table, waiting for quiet. The table was smooth and worn, heavy and well-crafted. My father had made it for my mother just before he died. I remembered hanging around underfoot when he built it. He didn't mind. Now I sat leaning on it, missing him. I could have talked to him. He had done it 3 times in his long life. 3 clutches of eggs, 3 times opened up and sewed up. How had he done it? How did anyone do it? I got up, took the rifle from its hiding place, and sat down again.
Done? That was bad. You should not have seen it. It need not be that way.
I know.
Tukotgiv. Chukotgiv now. She will die of her disease. She will not live to raise her children, but her sister will provide for them and for Bram Lomas.
He'll live then?
Yes.
I wonder if he would do it again. No one ever asks us. You never asked me.
What's the matter with your face?
Nothing. Nothing important.
Did you use that rifle to shoot the Akhti?
Yes.
And do you intend to use it to shoot me?
What does Terran blood taste like to you? What are you? What are we to you?
You know me as no other does. You must decide.
That's what happened to my face.
What?
Key goaded me into deciding to do something. It didn't turn out very well. I moved the gun slightly, brought the barrel up diagonally under my own chin. At least it was a decision I made.
As this will be.
Ask me, Getoy.
For the lives of my children?
I don't want to be a host animal. Not even yours.
We use almost no host animals these days. You know that.
You use us.
We do. We wait long years for you, and teach you, and join our families to yours. You know you aren't animals to us.
You forget that I live outside with you. I see the desperation in the way Tlik look at me. I see what you go through keeping them at bay. And I see you parceling out Terrans to the desperate, trading us for political gain.
But you also gain. Inside this preserve, you are an autonomous, independent people.
As long as we submit to being your pawns.
No. No.
And what about the time when you Tlik routinely broke up Terran families instead of joining them to yours? Before everyone had a stake in keeping the peace, how many Terran clans were wiped out in reprisal back during the assassination?
Many Tlik also died.
Even now, what choice do Terrans have, penned up in this preserve? Don't think I don't know why my mother gave me to you.
We are friends of old. I introduced her to your father. I was born inside your father's body because we are family.
Because she would have to give one of her children to some Tlik and better you than a stranger. That's why. She's been outside too. She's seen. You think she'd give any of her children to any Tlik if she didn't have to?
Gan, would you really rather die than bear my young? Shall I go to Xuanhua?
Yes. She wants it. Let her have it. She didn't see Bram Lomas get torn open and...
All right. I'll sleep in Xuanhua's room tonight. And sometime tonight or in the morning, I'll tell her.
Wait, Gatwe.
These are adult things, Gan. This is my life. My family.
But she's... my sister.
I've done what you demanded. I have asked you.
But
it will be easier for Hua. She is always expected to carry other lives inside her.
Human lives. Human young. Who should someday drink at her breasts, not at her veins. Don't do it to her, Gatoy. Do it to me.
Then give me the weapon.
No.
It is the law.
Leave it for the family. One of them might use it to save my life someday.
Give it to me.
Leave it here. If we are not your animals, if these are adult things, accept the risk. There is risk, Gatoy, in dealing with a partner.
Please put it away. I will implant the first eggs tonight. Do you hear, Gan?
I hear.
Now!
I let her push me out of the kitchen and walked ahead of her toward my bedroom. The sudden urgency in her voice sounded real. You would have done it to Hua tonight?
I must do it to someone tonight.
I knew what to do, what to expect. I had been told all my life. In bed with the Gatwe, I felt the familiar sting, narcotic, mildly pleasant. Then the blind probing of her ovipositor. The puncture was painless, easy. So easy going in. She undulated slowly against me, her muscles forcing the egg from her body into mine. Do you care? Do you care that it's me?
You were the one making the choices tonight. I made mine long ago.
Would you have gone to Hua?
Yes. How could I put my children into the care of one who hates them?
It wasn't... hate.
I know what it was.
I was afraid. I still am.
But you came to me. To save Hua.
Yes. And to keep you for myself. I don't know why, but that's how it is.
I couldn't believe I had made such a mistake with you. I chose you. I believed you had grown to choose me.
I had, but...
Lomas.
Yes.
I've never known a Terran to see a birth and take it well. Ki has seen one, hasn't he?
Yes.
Terrans should be protected from seeing...
Not protected. Shown. Shown when we're young kids, and shown more than once. Gatoy, no Terran ever sees a birth that goes right. All we see is Intlik. Pain and terror and maybe death.
It is a private thing. It has always been a private thing.
Her tone kept me from insisting. That and knowing that if she changed her mind, I might be the first public example. But I had planted the thought in her mind. Chances were it would grow, and eventually she would experiment.
You won't see it again. I don't want you thinking any more about shooting me.
I wouldn't have shot you. Not you.
Would you have destroyed yourself?
I could have done that. I nearly did. That's Key's way out. I wonder if he knows.
Knows what? You will live now?
Yes. Take care of her, my mother said. Yes.
I'm healthy and young. I won't leave you as Lomas was left, alone, in Tlik. I'll take care of you.
I know. And I'll take care of you.
You have been listening to Bloodchild by Octavia Estelle Butler. In the cast, you heard Dylan Cussman as Gon, Christina Pickles as Lynn, John Coppola as Key, Anne-Marie Lee as Howe, and Lynn Thigpen as Tikatoy. The story was dramatized for audio, produced, and directed by Yuri Rusovsky.